BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. There is so much that is happening so fast as it relates to COVID and the shot and the outbreaks that are taking place. I mean, just listen to this small sampling of headlines from just the past several days. Here they go. Three jabs to be fully vaxxed. Biden plans booster expansion. The most vaccinated state in the USA is having a COVID surge. Police hunting stores, highways for the unvaccinated. It's referring to what's going on in Austria. Here's another one. Austria formally segregates unvaxxed from society, promises rigid enforcement and heavy fines. University of California, Berkeley's 99% vaccinated football team has a COVID outbreak. Democrats call on Biden to impose vax test mandate for domestic flights. Not satire. The most vaccinated state in the USA is having a COVID surge. Christmas canceled over COVID surge in most vaccinated region on Earth. Here's another. The FDA recalls more than 2 million at-home COVID test kits due to false positive results. Another from the FDA. FDA asked courts for 55 years to fully release Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. Over 10,000 Australians planning to file COVID vaccine injury claims. COVID-19 outbreaks kills 8 fully vaxxed residents at Connecticut nursing home. And folks, I'm going to stop there, but they go on and on. This is a sampling of stories from this week alone. Well, we not only have OSHA now finally relenting and pulling back the mandate on businesses. Meanwhile, in schools across the country, young children are rolling up their sleeves, following the example of Big Bird to get the shot. Many are wondering about the COVID shot. Is it safe and effective, as we've been told? What are the risks for children? What about expectant women or women who one day want to have children? Joining us back on Crosstalk today, we welcome Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. They are a nonprofit public charity. Since February of 2020, she's been part of the team of frontline physicians treating COVID early at home. With Dr. Peter McCullough, she is co-author and editor of The Guide to COVID Early Treatments, Options to Stay Out of the Hospital and Save Your Life. She was with us previous on the program dealing with that very issue on the protocols going on in hospitals. Dr. Valete is a 2014 Ellis Island Medal of Honor recipient for her national and international educational efforts in health, wellness, and endocrine aging in men and women. She's a past director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She received her MD degree and internship in internal med at Eastern Virginia Medical School and completed special training at Johns Hopkins. Speaking today as an independent physician, not as a spokesperson for any healthcare system, pharmaceutical company, insurance plan, or political party. She is an advocate for patients. Dr. Valete, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's really a pleasure to be back with you.
Dr. Valete, before we talk about some of the specifics on children and vaccines and expectant women and so forth, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just claimed in a recent interview with Tucker Carlson that the COVID-19 vaccines are deadlier than all vaccines combined over the past 30 years. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I totally agree with it, looking at the data. The data in theirs, the CDC's own tracking system that's been in place for 31 years, clearly shows that if you look at all adverse events and deaths with all vaccines over 31 years they've been tracking it, we dramatically exceeded all of that in the first 6 months with the COVID vaccine compared to 31 years for everything else. Absolutely, it's staggering. And remember, your listeners need to understand that theirs, in studies by Harvard and others going back to 2010 and before that, theirs only captures about 1% of the adverse events or deaths. And so we are looking at the skyrocketing damage in theirs. The last check that I did a few days ago, we were over 18,000 deaths in the United States alone and close to 1 million adverse reactions. And if think about the fact that that's 1% roughly of what's actually happening, and you see that that's the tip of the iceberg and how staggering the damage is.
Yes.
No, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is exactly right in what he said.
Some of the most current news deals with OSHA pulling back on their employer mandate right now, and this has just really been an end-around game by the Biden administration, hasn't it, to force this?
So it has been, because the federal government lawyers are not stupid. They know that the federal government cannot mandate the vaccine, so they have given financial incentives and other incentives and the bully pulpit and the stick and threatening to pull back federal money to make the private employers be the scapegoat and issue the vaccine mandate. That was done deliberately because they knew that the federal government wouldn't be legal. It wouldn't be possible to have the federal government do it. They'd be violating all of their rights as well as the U.S. Constitution. Now, what the private employers don't seem to be factoring into the equation is that the federal government and the vaccine manufacturers are all immune from liability for damage due to the shots. Private employers are not immune from liability, and when they mandate something that is still being given under the emergency use authorization, they are not immune. You can't mandate an emergency use experimental treatment, and when they do that, they are liable for damages to employees who either are injured or die because of the complications of these experimental COVID shots.
A doctor, as current as just 1 hour ago, I was on OSHA's website, and they have this frequently asked questions section as it relates to COVID and the COVID shot. And here is the question that is on their site, and I just pulled this down. Are adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine recordable on the OSHA record-keeping log? Here is their answer. DOL, that's Department of Labor, and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccination. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccination, and also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904, that's federal regulations, regarding requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination at least through May of 2022. We will reevaluate the agency's position at that time to determine the best course of action moving forward. They are telling employers, no, don't report these things. We want people to get the shot. We don't want to discourage them from getting the shot by you reporting the adverse reactions.
Well, that's clearly in violation of longstanding regulations that apply to everything else OSHA does. And let's face it, OSHA can be quite punitive to employers who don't report unsafe workplaces. So I think this is clearly massive hypocrisy that is putting workers at risk when OSHA is waiving their own regulations to report adverse reactions. It's unheard of, unprecedented, and it leads to damage to the workers that workers are not then able to make an informed decision, which is a violation of their human and civil rights under the U.S. Constitution and under medical practice acts.
Dr. Vliet, we are now going to get really to our main topic for today. There's this nationwide push going on for the vax. We saw it with adults and teenagers, and now for children starting at age 5 on up. And just yesterday, you moderated a conference featuring parents of children with permanent paralysis and death after the COVID shots. You had medical doctors on, speakers addressing this issue. Why are we vaccinating children against COVID-19? So we'd like you to give us some of the information that came forth in this press conference. Are children at risk if they fail to get the shot?
Actually, one of the key points that parents listening to your show need to understand, children are not at risk of hospitalization or death from COVID if they are healthy if a child has an underlying medical condition, morbid obesity, diabetes, cystic fibrosis, other lung disease, for example, those children who are high-risk children do better with better outcomes with early treatment. They are not typically at risk for hospitalization or death unless treatment has been denied. We have early treatment options for high-risk children, and other children have a case with COVID, get a mild runny nose or the sniffles or something like a cold. And the pediatricians on our press conference all talked about that. They see the children in their practice. They know the children are not really very sick. Healthy children are not particularly sick with COVID. And the risk is far greater of the hospitalization, 6 times greater risk of hospitalization from the complications, myocarditis, for example, of the COVID shots in young people than any hospitalization rates that have been seen for children with COVID. They just don't get that sick unless they have diabetes or existing lung disease, and then they need early treatment. So the question I would ask the parents, because parents really have a responsibility to make the informed decision for the best benefit of their child. It's actually, in legal circles, it's referred to as a fiduciary responsibility to make a medical decision for someone who's unable to engage in informed consent. Either they're too young and don't know enough, or they're impaired and can't make their own decision. And parents have that responsibility. If the government is hiding the complications, and the tragic case of Maddie, 12 years old, did the thing she thought was a good thing, a good intent, going into a clinical trial, and her life is destroyed. She has a permanent paralysis, multiple health problems. They have gotten no support from either the pharmaceutical company or the government that were looking at running the clinical trials. And there has clearly been an attempt to not report the very kinds of complications that Maddie and others have experienced. So I ask the parents, do you want your child to be part of a great experiment where children weren't studied in the clinical trials, and we don't have long-term safety data? If your child has an underlying health condition, wouldn't it be smarter to treat them with existing known medicines doctors use every day for many conditions than to risk an experiment with something we've never had available before that wasn't studied in children? I mean, it's a common sense question, and I have to ask parents to think about that.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete with us here today on Crosstalk, talking about the COVID shot, and right now focusing in on children and just asking that very question, do you want your children to be part of an experiment? That's what we're going to delve more into that. What is meant by that? Have enough trials been done, or are we lacking? Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, evolutionists say that because our blood is similar to seawater, this proves the evolution of life in the ocean. Is this true?
Chris, it is true that evolution says that life evolved in the sea, but human blood is very different from seawater. Now, many of the same elements are in both, but the concentrations and compounds are very, very different. God used the building blocks he had created on day one to form all things. Human blood has unbearably complex molecules locked into complex combinations that are very different from anything ever found in seawater. In fact, seawater would break down the compounds that we have in our blood. Chris, we can be confident that man did not come from the sea. Man was created by the Creator, who also created the sea. We read all about it when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete with us here today. By the way, her website, and we'll give this a few times because we've got a lot of information there, truthforhealth.org. truthforhealth.org. She is president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. Again, they are a nonprofit public charity, and you'll find lots of information there, even as we will refer to that as we go through this interview here. You're a medical doctor. I mean, you actually have patients that you've had to respond to that have suffered injury from the shot. Is that correct?
Yes, Bill. In fact, I just evaluated a new person today who was healthy, got the shot, and now has elevated blood clotting risk, elevated blood sugar, he has thyroid inflammation, and he was a healthy gentleman who had been running marathons, and now he can't do that. I've been shocked at the degree to which patients in my own practice who, for one reason or another, chose to get the COVID shot, even though many of them, I had warned them about underlying medical conditions that gave them a higher risk of adverse events so that they could make an informed decision. I had gone through that process with them and people who made the decision to get it. I've had everything from neurologic complications, atrial fibrillation, chest pain, myocarditis, testiculitis, which is inflammation of the testicle in men. I've seen women with ovarian dysfunction, menstrual cycle irregularity, bleeding problems, people with exacerbation of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, intestinal pain syndromes, bladder pain syndromes, blood in the bladder, joint pain, muscle pain, confusion, mental fogginess, memory problems, increase in migraine headaches. I mean, the kinds of complications that I'm seeing in people who were stable on what they were getting, many of my patients, I've been my patient for 20, 25 years, so I know them well, and I'm just shocked at what I'm seeing as one physician in practice. I have an independent medical practice, and then I am running the nonprofit foundation that is working on educational programs for early treatment, and we're doing medical advisory services for lawyers and family members of patients trapped in the hospital who are not getting adequate treatment. We're doing educational programs for parents on vaccine risk and complications. So I have a dual role in my work right now, but the medical practice, I've had an independent medical practice since 1985, and I've never seen reactions to vaccines over the years that I've been seeing since the COVID shots were rolled out.
My. Let's talk about this shot being given to children now. What kind of clinical trials was this put through? What hoops did this jump through? What kind of time period? Because it seems normally don't things have to be run for years and trials and so forth and monitor what's taking place, the any effect from them? What can you tell us about what the children's vax went through?
Well, let me just step back from that and comment that the normal vaccine development process, clinical trials, would be going on for anywhere from 2 to 5 years, perhaps 7 years, and careful monitoring of adverse effects throughout that time before it's rolled out for public use on a broad way. With the COVID shots, we only had 2 months of clinical trial information before they immediately rolled out the shots from different manufacturers worldwide. And many of the tracking of adverse events just suddenly fell off a cliff, unlike in the past and unlike other medications. And to put it in perspective, the swine flu vaccine, that program caused Guillain-Barré and it caused deaths. And they stopped that program after only 25 deaths. And look at the fact that we now are over 18,000 deaths with the COVID shots. representing about 1% of the actual rate based on the history of VAERS problems with adequate reporting. And so why haven't they stopped it with such massive numbers of deaths compared to such few deaths in the past that led to stopping the program? In the original clinical trials, children were not included. So we didn't have data on children when they were rolled out immediately. And then, in violation of the normal procedures, they started rolling out the vaccines into young people, age groups, adolescents, and children down to age 5, without these years of safety evaluation and clinical trial testing and monitoring for adverse events. So all the parents that are being pushed into a corner to make a decision about their child are making it in the total vacuum of information about what are the immediate risks and what are the long-term risks.
Can this shot affect future fertility and reproduction?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that based on studies going back 10 years ago that Dr. Mike Eden, who was one of the chief scientists for Pfizer Pharmaceutical Company over a long career in pharmaceutical companies' drug development work, he found studies in the pharmaceutical research going back 10 years that showed that the lipid nanoparticle coatings used in these mRNA vaccines were themselves damaging to the ovaries and testicle. It damaged sperm. The lipid coatings, that means a fat molecule coating, which drives the mRNA into the cells. And they showed damage to sperm production, sperm motility, sperm structure, and they showed damage to testosterone production in men. Those studies showed damage by the lipid nanoparticles to the ovaries. And there were several species of animals where this has been shown unequivocally. And then when you look at the fact that these are the animal models that were used always as the preclinical animal testing before things went into the human population clinical trials, to have three different species showing the same kind of damage is staggering to even consider that they went forward with the human trials. That's what Dr. Yeadon presented at two of our early press conferences on threats to pregnancy and fertility. And what we've seen clinically since these have been available to humans is menstrual disturbance, ovarian dysfunction in terms of hormone production in women, early miscarriages in women, and then we've seen testicular inflammation and damage and alteration in testosterone production in men. So that is the human population equivalent that we're seeing since the shots have been started on a broader basis in people. That's exactly the same damage that they showed in these three different species of animals going back 10 years. So I think it's really critically important for the audience to understand we don't have long-term safety data to say there isn't fertility damage, but we also have clinical studies in animals and clinical studies now with the follow-up of patients who got the shot to show that people are having the very kinds of testicular in men and ovarian dysfunction in women that was seen in the animal models in the earlier studies. So I think that's very ominous and quite alarming. And then the question goes back to what I said at the beginning. Why take a risk with an experimental shot that can damage your body now and damage future fertility or ability to get pregnant when you've got early treatment for COVID with medicines we've all been using for other conditions for up to 65 years in the case of hydroxychloroquine and 40 years in the case of ivermectin. And corticosteroids have been used for decades, probably 50 or 60 years as well.
Dr. Valit, I mean, yet we keep hearing the words safe and effective, and even expectant mothers have been told to take the shot. When we see that and we hear what you just shared just a bit ago, I mean, it is just baffling as to why they are pushing this on expectant women. And I looked at the latest VAERS information that showed that there have been a number of miscarriages, nearly 3,000 miscarriages that have been reported to VAERS. And if you said that's only approximately 1%, I mean, that should be really alarming to people all across this nation.
Well, exactly right. And I'll come back to the propaganda language in a moment, but let me comment further on the pregnancy situation. The New England Journal of Medicine, I think your listeners need to understand that there's a lot of false manipulation of data in ways to either falsely reassure people or falsely scare people. In the New England Journal of Medicine study that looked at miscarriage rates in pregnancy after the vaccine, COVID vaccine, the authors in the word description in the abstract of their conclusions claimed that there was a 12% miscarriage rate, and they kind of nonchalantly blew it off as that's really not out of the ordinary. Well, unless you're one of the 12% of women who lost a baby and you're devastated by it, and they didn't address that point, obviously. But they lied because they either lied or they were stupid. And I don't think they were stupid. So what happened was they did not correctly calculate the miscarriage rate based on their own data. The numbers in the data charts in their own article contradicted the verbal description of their conclusions in the abstract. And if you do the calculations correctly, which some of my maternal fetal medicine colleagues and epidemiology colleagues did do correctly, the actual first and second trimester miscarriage rate in the New England Journal of Medicine study was over 82%. That's 82% of those early pregnancies, the baby died in a miscarriage.
Hmm.
And when we use the medical terms that are impersonal, like fetal loss, that denies the fact of biology, that this is a human life.
Yes.
And a soul that were lost as a result directly related to having gotten that shot in the early pregnancy when they already knew that the shot triggered antibodies to the placental protein.
We're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, she is the president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. Their website, truthforhealth.org, truthforhealth.org. Back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime. Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18, or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. We're talking about the COVID shot today. I mean, for children, expectant women. Dr. Valete, you were talking just as that break came about on the placenta protein aspect. Help us understand further what you're really talking about here. If you can put the cookies on the lower shelf here for us to understand.
I'll do my best. Okay, everybody's heard about the spike protein on the coronavirus. Those are the little spiky things on the picture of the virus. The spike protein on the coronavirus has a lot of structural similarities to a protein that a woman's body makes naturally called syncytin 1, and there's two of them, but the syncytin 1 is a protein the woman's body makes in order to help establish a healthy placenta for pregnancy. Well, what they found and what Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Vodarg in Germany warned about in the fall of 2020, October-November 2020, is that the structural similarity of the natural body protein to make a placenta, and the fact that it looks a lot like the spike protein in the way it's built. Your listeners can think about this in the way of sort of those Lego things that kids play with and build things, and they can build a tower. Okay, well, if they built two towers that looked alike but just had a few differences, then you might think they were both the same. Well, the point is that the body's immune system thinks those two proteins are the same, except for the fact that the spike protein generates an antibody response that causes inflammation and blood clotting, and the placental protein isn't supposed to do that. So when women get the COVID shot or a COVID illness, and their body has a lot of the spike proteins from the coronavirus, either generated in an uncontrolled way by the vaccine or generated from the illness, then the body mounts an immune response. And everybody's heard about the fact that if you've had COVID, you have antibodies, and that's natural immunity, and that's going to last and very broad, and that's a good thing. But if you've had the COVID vaccine and your body is only mounting antibodies to the spike protein, it turns out that those, in a large percentage of women, those antibodies cross-react with the placental protein, and your body's immune system starts attacking the normal placental protein. Well, the placental development is a fragile process that involves the uterine lining and blood vessel effects and all of this. Well, what happens when the immune system starts attacking the placental protein, thinking it's the spike protein, the placenta breaks down. That means you don't form a placenta to start a pregnancy, and it also can mean if you have an existing pregnancy in the first or second trimester, when the placenta is more vulnerable, then it breaks down. And that is what can lead to the miscarriage. And that's why the experts in maternal fetal medicine and reproductive immunology and toxicology, all of those experts are saying the same thing, that this is a factor that can trigger early miscarriage. But they've known about that for a long time, many years before they even went ahead with this new technology.
You know,
why would you do that?
Yeah, and all I'm hearing is Bill Gates' voice in my mind right now, Doctor. I mean, we're going to vaccinate and we're going to be saving lives with the vaccine and reduce the population at the same time.
That's exactly his goal. He's made no bones about it for at least 20 years. I can remember hearing him talk about it. And on videos, he's quite open about it. It's not a conspiracy. He's right out there with it, right in front of you. And he's already, Bill Gates Foundation and the Vaccine Coalition has been sued in Africa for vaccines that cause sterilization. I just interviewed an expert on that who worked in that area earlier in her career. She was on our press conference yesterday on the vaccine risk in children, and she alluded to that. And the government of India has sued the Gates Foundation over the sterilization of young Indian women with vaccines. It's a known technology. Reproductive immunology has looked at sterilization vaccination technology for men and women going back many years. I remember discussions on that when I was in medical school and residency.
Doctor, you have, and folks, let me mention, let's open some phone lines here. Our number is 800-733-9829. Get on board here with your questions, 800-733-9829. Dr. Vliet, you have on your website, you had a press conference just yesterday here about the COVID shot. Is this necessary for children? But you, so that's available on your website, but you also had another one in which you dealt with the COVID shot in women with a panel of experts?
Actually, that was threats to fertility and pregnancy.
Threats to fertility.
With a panel of world-class experts in different fields. And that press conference was aired earlier in August. And I really urge your listeners to listen to get that on our website and listen to it, because we had a number of experts in science, toxicology, pathology, medicine, reproductive medicine, and they were the experts that talked about these issues with me. It was not just my opinion. These are people who've been researching reproductive immunology, maternal fetal medicine, and pharmacology and pharmaceutical drug development research for their whole career. And your listeners need to go back and hear what they all had to say. And they are speaking at great risk, Jim. I want your listeners to also understand all of the medical and scientific advisors for Truth for Health Foundation are volunteers. None of us, and myself included, are paid a dime from public money to work night and day to bring this information to the public. We are not the million-dollar talking heads that are giving people wrong information. We are risking our licenses, our livelihoods, and in some cases, many of us have had death threats for trying to speak out. So when your listeners want to know, whom shall I trust? Think about this. Do you want to trust the people who are risking everything to bring you the truth that we know is there in the science, and we have nothing to gain and everything to lose? Or do you want to trust the people who are paid to basically give you the false narrative?
Yeah. Dr. Vliet, again, tell us, where will we find that on your website, the threats that you just referred to?
The yesterday's press conference link is right there on the home page. It says click a video link. Click mm-hmm. here. It takes mm-hmm. you right to it. Then, under media and news, you have all of the videos that we've put up there, and the pregnancy and the threats to pregnancy and fertility press conference, is the link is still on our homepage as well to make it easy for people to find.
Again, the website, ladies and gentlemen, truthforhealth.org, truthforhealth.org. Our lines are packed. Let's begin with Don calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Donnie. I'm calling from Kenosha.
You're on the air, Don. Go ahead,
Thank
please.
Thank you. I have a question. Well, a question, mainly a comment. I have suffered after because of this, I have congestive heart failure, AFib, and I'm now on an anticoagulant for the rest of my life. But I got this after the second stick of a vaccine, but not the COVID. I got this a year ago last February. After the second shot, all this damage occurred, exactly what the doctor is saying, after the second injection of the Shingrix vaccine.
Hmm. And that happens due to the inflammation that occurs in myocarditis, weakening of the heart muscle that can lead to congestive heart failure, and alterations in both the heart and the brain regulation of heart rate. can occur as a result of neurologic inflammation and heart inflammation after these shots. Now, there are treatments available that can help with that inflammation. And Dr. Peter McCullough is a cardiologist, epidemiologist, and internal medicine specialist, world-renowned for his work in cardiac and renal medicine. He is our chief medical advisor. We have a lot of his interviews on our website. And many of us are treating, many of us who are practicing physicians, as Dr. McCullough is and others on our advisory council, we are treating the vaccine-injured patients with some of the same combination of medicines that treats the COVID inflammation, because the mechanism of injury is similar. It's the spike protein inflammation, and it's the exaggerated blood clotting risk that causes micro blood clots. I've just evaluated several patients like that in my own practice in the last 2 weeks that all have these elevated markers of inflammation and blood clot risk, and we can treat them with the same combination of medicines. So I think your listeners, and Donnie, this might help you, go on our website and download the free booklet that says COVID Early Treatment Guide, how to stay out of the hospital and save your life. Look at the stages of inflammation and illness there, and look at the medicines that are used, and remember that the spike protein damage and inflammation and blood clotting are similar after the vaccination, and therefore you can talk with your doctor about using some of those same approaches. That's what we're doing, and it's helping a lot of people.
Thank you, Don, for the call. Many people lined up here. Naomi in Preston, Minnesota,
and
you're there.
And my condolences to Don, because yes. I can tell he's short of breath.
Yes. Thank you, Naomi. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm wondering, I'm never going to get the shot, and I have a child, hopefully can't hear him. and I'm wondering if it's safe to be around, if I was to get pregnant again, is it safe to be around people who have had the shot? And also, is it safe for breastfeeding moms to take quercetin?
For breastfeeding moms to take what?
Quercetin is in the Z-Stack that Dr. Zelenko made.
Okay, thank you.
Well, quercetin is a food-derived supplement that's based on citrus bioflavonoids. And to my knowledge, there's no, if you can eat oranges, for example, during breastfeeding, I don't know of any data that I've seen that would suggest that quercetin in modest quantities would be harmful if you're breastfeeding. But that would be an interesting question for the maternal fetal medicine physician on our advisory council to address, and I will see what we can do to find an answer for that. The other thing I will tell you is that the maternal fetal medicine specialist has been using quercetin and hydroxychloroquine to treat pregnant women safely for years. Hydroxychloroquine is safe in pregnancy.
We got to take a break here. Thank you for the call. We'll try and address the other question right after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I've been looking at hate speech laws that are rising all over the world, from Scotland to Canada, and now calls in the U.S. increasing for hate speech legislation. What hate speech? Well, in many cases, speaking the truth about Islam. Now, they're going to push these so-called hate speech laws, many of them, including Tony Blair in Europe, by saying they want to fight anti-Semitism. Yet the funny thing is, and it's not funny, most of these people don't care one iota about the Jewish people or the Jewish state. That's a cover for implementing legislation to criminalize those who speak truth about things such as Islam or the LGBTQ community. What does the Bible say about this? Galatians 4:6, I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And yet, we should be ready to tell the truth even with a penalty.
Dr. Vliet with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, the website truthforhealth.org. The other question, we didn't get a response. Doctor, she said, I'm not taking the shot, she said. Am I safe being around if I'm expecting a child to be around those who have had the shot?
Jim, for your listener, that's a tricky question. I will say that there has been evidence going back a number of years, and even in other fields of study, that the spike protein and nanoparticles that are that are tiny little particles, they're nanoparticles, can be transmitted through the skin and can affect those around them. Do we have any clinical studies on that in pregnant women being around vaccinated people? No, because we don't have hardly any clinical studies on these COVID vaccines at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's enough question about that issue that I would suggest early pregnancy, just be cautious and try not to be around a lot of people who either might be sick or might be shedding anything. The viral load that the vaccinated people are shedding with Delta variant alone is a risk to unvaccinated. So I think there are a number of issues that raise concerns for early pregnancy.
Let's go to Zach in River Falls, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was ridiculed, slandered, and made to look foolish and selfish for not taking the jab.
Mm-hmm.
But all these other NFL players took it, and they're still testing positive. So who's the foolish one? And the Lib News says the Delta variant greatly decreases the effectiveness of the jabs, but we're mandating the jabs. I don't know how you can still follow this nonsense.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. We've got Dave in Shiner, Texas. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jim and Dr. Vliet. My question is, I have a family member that recently had a baby, and she got the shot, after delivery. And I was just wondering if anything could be passed through the breast milk because the baby is throwing up the milk.
That has been shown in some of the studies looking at the distribution of the spike protein and the nanoparticles from this experimental shot. We have some of those studies referenced in the pregnancy and fertility fact sheet on our website. And so you might print that fact sheet and look at some of those references. And Dr. Yeadon talked about some of this, and so did Dr. Blumrich in our press conference on threats to pregnancy and fertility.
Dave, we appreciate your call here today, and we will give out that website here again before leaving here in just a few minutes. Bruce in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Bruce, and I'm calling. I'm just thanking you, Jim, for the valuable information that you provide for us each day. And Dr. Vliet, I had a question. Do you have a phone number that I'd be able to contact you? I don't always have access to a computer, or for Dr. Peter
McCullough.
McCullough, yeah, Dr. McCullough.
So
I don't know if you have that
phone number
that I'd be able to reach me at.
Our phone?
Yes.
Is 520-777-7092, and you may leave a message and our staff will get back to you on that.
Okay, again, this is the number for their foundation phone. This, again, is Truth for Health Foundation, that number 520-777-7092.
Yes.
Doctor, do you know anything about it? It's a new oral prescription that I heard about. It's called Milnupivir. That you can, I think it's in Great Britain. I can't remember exactly. It's not in the United States, but you can take that in case you do acquire COVID. I don't know if you know anything about that.
Well, I think that's a new antiviral that we don't have a lot of data about. There are much more effective medicines that have been around for all the years we've been practicing, at least in my career, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide,
and the antiviral, anti-inflammatory effects of azithromycin and doxycycline, which are older antibiotics, all of those have been very effective in treating COVID with a known safety profile that goes back 65 years for hydroxychloroquine and about 40 years for ivermectin. I've been using those safer medicines for my patients for early treatment, as have all the frontline doctors. So I think using something that's known and safe makes more sense than using something brand new that we don't have safety data for.
Thank you, Bruce. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Connie in Freeport, Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate your program. Just wanted to know, clarify, is COVID a virus or a disease? Because I understand a disease needs a vaccine, but does COVID, if COVID's just a virus, does it?
Okay, thank you.
Well, the SARS-CoV-2 is the name of the virus. COVID-19 is the name they gave the illness that was triggered by that virus, which produces viral inflammation and blood clotting. And what we're seeing is, the vaccine doesn't protect against getting infected with the virus in the COVID-19 shots. The clinical trials from the manufacturers all showed that. The vaccines also don't prevent transmission to others. The clinical trials showed that. The public just hasn't been informed of what the actual clinical trials showed. The vaccines reduce the severity of symptoms. But if you start treatment early, when the virus has just, when you've just been exposed to the virus and you've just started with symptoms, you block the virus from multiplying in your body, and you block the virus then from spreading to others, and you treat the illness before it becomes inflammation and blood clotting that causes all the complications that tends to send people to the hospital.
We're going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time here on the broadcast. Thank you for the call, caller, and Dr. Vliet, thank you for being with us here today. The website, again, truthforhealth.org. You've got a lot of material there.
Yes. And we're launching a new website with more material next week.
Okay. Well, keep me posted. Truthforhealth.org. And if you'd stay on the line just for a brief moment here, Doctor, folks, check out the information and become informed. I know there are those who said we got to stop the people from digging out, you know, and getting the information. We're here to keep you informed. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.